You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. It's more crucial now than ever that the elderly stay away from others as the coronavirus pandemic and the stay-at-home orders continue. But a lack of connection and loss of routine can amplify feelings of loneliness and isolation for senior citizens, a group that's already one of the most susceptible to those feelings. One way many people have started to connect during the coronavirus pandemic is through technology, social media, video chat. But some older people are not comfortable navigating new technologies, or they may just not have access to smartphones or even broadband internet. Kathleen Cagney is now with us. She's a professor of sociology at the University of Chicago. I'm also joined on the line by Karen Blatzer, who's the director of marketing at Clark Lindsay, a not-for-profit retirement community in Urbana. Kathleen and Karen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
And if you out there have been helping an older friend or relative stay connected, or maybe if you're an older person looking to keep in touch, you can join our conversation anytime, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21STShow. That's 21st Show. Karen, before social distancing and the stay-at-home order was in place, can you just take us through what socialization and group activities were available at Clark Lindsay? What would a typical day look like for residents?
Sure. At Clark Lindsay, we have about 250 independent living residents, and we have several different kinds of activities and programs. At Clark Lindsay, it's real important for all of us, for all of our programming, to revolve around the four components of well-being. So that's social, intellectual, physical, and spiritual. As human beings, we all need these four components of well-being incorporated into our life. And when we have them on a daily basis, we tend to be happier and we live longer. So all of our programming has to do with that. So we have a large wellness center. We have an indoor swimming pool, fitness center. We have all different kinds of resident-led group activities, everything from knitting to book clubs to conversation groups about war and all different kinds of topics. We really just had just so many things. It's a very vibrant community, a lot of hustle and bustle, very active people. A lot of our residents are not only active at Clark Lindsay, but outside in our community, volunteering and serving as mentors, and they're just a really great group of people.
And what, you know, one of our producers is suggesting she would like to live at Clark Lindsay. It sounds pretty good. I imagine a lot of those activities are on hold now. And if that's the case, what's it
right.
been like for people to go from 60 to zero, so to speak?
Yeah. All of our activities and programming for outside the community as well as in the community have been postponed. And so now we're really going virtual with most of our activities. And when you were mentioning about older adults that maybe they don't have the opportunity to engage in technology, or they don't know enough about using it, that's one of the really great things about living in a retirement community like Clark Lindsay, because we have the resources. We even have a tech specialist with our residents, and we have iPads available. So some of the things that we're doing right now, we have a resident portal that we've had for a long time, but I can tell you honestly, not all of our residents were engaged in it. But now that this is a means of communicating with other people, now it's really been a great way to connect with other people. I'm sorry, I do have a screaming child here. Let me.
Oh, no, that's all right. I live in fear of that happening every minute of this live show from my own house. That's okay. Kathleen, I would like to bring you into the conversation now. And I think, as we just heard there, most of us, if not all of us, have had our day-to-day lives upended to some extent by the coronavirus. And I wonder, how has the pandemic affected our ability specifically to connect with other people, and especially with older adults?
Well, I think one of the ways that the pandemic differs from other sorts of crises we've experienced, like Superstorm Sandy or heat waves, Hurricane Katrina, is that they're both short in duration, and you're not putting someone at risk by be in contact with them physically. And so it's really hard because the form of interaction people need to some degree is based on that face-to-face interaction. So we have to find ways both to supplant that and also to think about this as a long-term form of support. So I think in those kinds of crises that I mentioned, there's a sense that things will improve relatively quickly and that the social and physical structures will be in place. But I think we know right now in this pandemic that we're going to need one another for a longer period of time.
Kathleen, why are senior citizens so susceptible to feelings of isolation and loneliness, even outside of a pandemic?
Well, social contacts tend to decrease as we age, and that can be due to retirement, the death of friends and family, or lack of physical mobility, which just means we can't get out and about so easily. So that really puts older adults at risk. And research suggests that isolation and loneliness are linked to other kinds of physical outcomes like high blood pressure, obesity, heart disease, and more generally a weakened immune system. And that can then lead to other sorts of outcomes like depression, anxiety, or cognitive decline.
And Kathleen, you've been looking at some of the health outcomes mm-hmm. when loneliness in older populations does not get addressed. I think it can even manifest itself in physical health problems as well. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So that is where we see these higher rates of chronic conditions like diabetes. You see much higher rates of frailty, higher rates of falls, which then can lead to other kinds of physical health difficulties. And it's certainly lots of research suggests that reports of loneliness lead to early death. In our study, the National Social Life, Health, and Aging Project, we find that about 30% of our respondents report that they're lonely some of the time, and 8% of the respondents say they're severely lonely. So that's during times of regular social interaction, not during times of crisis.
And Karen, I know Clark Lindsay is using different technologies to help residents. You mentioned that a minute ago. I want to talk a little bit more about that later in our conversation.
Sure.
But I wanted to ask about what Kathleen just said about that loneliness and isolation. Is that a concern for your residents now and always? Do you think they're feeling the effects
yeah.
of social distancing?
It's definitely a concern. We've been doing regular phone calls a couple times a week with our residents. So there's been several of us that were identified and were assigned certain residents. And so I'm making those phone calls a couple times a week. And actually, it's turned out to be the highlight of my whole work week, actually, just calling them up and seeing how they're doing. And everybody really has a very positive, a positive attitude, but they've all said they're very grateful to all the different steps that we're taking at Clark Lindsay to keep them safe. And I think that safety and that security and knowing that we're out there to connect with them, I think that makes them feel more optimistic about everything.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The 21st. We've been speaking with Karen Blatzer, who's the Director of Marketing for the Urbana Retirement Community, Clark Lindsay. Kathleen Cagney's also with us. She's a professor of sociology at the University of Chicago. We're talking about the toll that isolation and social distancing during the coronavirus pandemic can take on older adults, the elderly. As always, we'd love to have you join our conversation. How have you been staying connected with an older friend or relative? Or maybe you're an older person looking to keep in touch. Join the conversation, 800-222-9455. That number is 800-222-9455. Karen, can you tell us a little bit more about some of the ways that Clark Lindsay has been using technology to connect to residents?
Sure, absolutely. In our residence apartments, they all have Channel 2, which is the Clark Lindsay TV channel. And so we've been able to bring them exercise videos from our fitness coordinator. She has recorded some exercises in one of our guest suites. So it makes it look like she's in her home and she's doing these exercises, and residents can also do it from their homes. So they get some physical fitness. We've also been getting lots of wonderful cards and notes and children's artwork from the community, and we've put those into a video that we stream on this channel too. We also have pictures of our residents and staff with quotes from them, positive quotes, one of our residents, actually some of them are funny, one of our residents put, I hope I recognize my Clark Lindsay friends in a couple of months without a visit to their beauty or barbershop. We're also asking some thought-provoking questions to our residents. We gave them a whole list of different thought-provoking questions, and then we'll get their answers on Channel 2. So some of those questions could be, you know, what musical instrument makes you feel the happiest? What was your biggest surprise of your life? You know, what was the best advice you've ever received? And so this will be a fun way of connecting too. So that's our TV channel. We also have a resident portal that we kicked off in the fall. And it's just supposed to be a really easy way for residents to get the information and to connect with others. So it's easy to log on. There's announcements at the very top, everything from the latest news on COVID-19 to links to fun activities like virtual tours at any, pretty much any museum that you'd want. So let's say you want to go to the Musée d'Orsay in Paris, and you can navigate a virtual tour. You can visit many zoos. The San Diego Zoo has live feeds. I can watch the elephants or the penguins. And then there's also a library of workout videos on the portal as well. The thing about our portals, like I said, we kicked it off in the fall. There were some residents who took to it right away, but there were a lot of residents who really didn't have a lot of interest in it. And now that has changed entirely. Mm-hmm. Now there's a desire to learn about this resident portal because they want to connect with others, and this is really the main way to do it.
Sure.
So, we've seen a big increase.
Yeah. So, Kathleen, I want to bring you back into the conversation. So for people maybe who don't have access to closed circuit television in the retirement community, what are some of the other ways that we can connect with older people, either technologically or otherwise?
Yeah, I think many of the things that Karen's describing sound amazing to me and really essential. But I think it's also important to remember that about 29% of those 65 and older are still living in the community and living alone. And about half of older women are living on their own in particular. And so so I think it's important to imagine how the community can provide infrastructure and support for those individuals. And so, you know, some of the things are just kind of, you know, sound more old fashioned, but getting people's phone numbers and calling them every day. And, you know, there have been these processes in community for a long period of time, which are really information chains, where one neighbor calls another neighbor, calls another neighbor to share information and resources. And so something like that, that people can count on again each and every day, I think is effective. I also think, you know, we can make a decision in our own communities to make certain that we know who is vulnerable in our community and to check on those 2 to 3 people again on a regular basis to make sure that they have food and other sorts of social and physical supports.
And it seems like as communication, I mean, you mentioned phone trees, mm-hmm. I think is what we used to
yes,
call
exactly.
that, but
mm-hmm.
that's all going on to Facebook now or text message chains or things like that. I mean, does that infrastructure still exist in neighborhoods?
Yes, I think it does.
Okay.
Yeah, and
okay.
I think it might. And to the extent that it doesn't, I think we should recreate it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a really rich literature, again, thinking back on other types of crises in community where neighborhoods that have high rates of trust and solidarity, where people know one another and feel that their neighbors have their back, if you will, those are communities that both are more effective in times of crisis and also rebuild more quickly. And so you have to sort of draw on that reservoir, if you will, to make certain that the more vulnerable persons in your neighborhoods are okay.
And Karen, you mentioned at Clark Lindsay, the, you know, using this television channel to connect within the people within the facility there. But what about connecting with families outside? Are you able to provide tech support for that? And we've only got about a couple of minutes left in our conversation here.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Zoom has been really, really popular. We've been using it internally for playing bingo, trivial pursuit, and categories, but also to connect with family members, and they've been able to dine with their family members or have birthday parties with their family members. So that's really been nice. And I also wanted to touch upon the community aspect. You know, as a nonprofit, Clark Lindsay has a responsibility to give back to the greater community. We have a monthly luncheon called Ethel and Maud's, where we have live entertainment and a very reasonable price luncheon. And that has been put on hold. However, now we're finding other ways to reach out to the community. So we just celebrated our sixth anniversary yesterday, went on Facebook Live and had people connecting and did some trivia. We're also looking at ways where we can still provide those meals to people in our community, as well as live entertainment. It's just really important for all older adults to have that connection on any level possible.
And Kathleen, last question to you, I think. Do you have a suggestion? Is there something people can do right now, this afternoon, after the show today, about, you know, to try and connect with someone either in their neighborhood, in their family? I mean, just to try and bridge this gap that's out there.
Yeah, I think take a walk, if you can, around the neighborhood and try to identify someone who you think may be in need and slip a note under the door. Or if you already have information, like contact information for that individual, a phone number, call that individual. I think, in other analyses we've done, I think, you know, that's a task that we can engage in right now. That's a doable number. And I think, one important idea to keep in mind is that if we create that sort of connectedness, it's going to be there the next time we are in need. And again, it's back to this notion of creating a reservoir so that in times of crisis, again, we have something to draw upon.
Kathleen Cagney is a professor of sociology at the University of Chicago. We also spoke with Karen Blatzer, who's director of marketing for the Urbana Retirement Community, Clark Lindsay. Both of you, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, Brian.
More to come on the 21st. We're going to be taking a look at some of the ways people are trying to contribute to the fight against COVID-19. That's coming up just after a short break. Stay with us.